Western Copper courts Skagway? And could wood heat be a viable option for Haynes? It's a KHNS local news. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Western Copper and Gold Company last week met with Skagway officials to discuss its plans to ship copper concentrate from the town's port when the Casino mine begins production in the next several years. Cameron Brown, Vice President of Engineering with Western Copper, detailed the prediction of the Casino project, located about 350 miles from Skagway in western Yukon. The mine would hope to produce about 350,000 tons of copper concentrate annually, beginning about 2019. Brown said the company would like to truck the mine products to Skagway for export.
I hope what we've shown you here is convincing in terms of there's a lot of capacity and capability here in Skagway without stepping outside the bounds of what we currently have. And I think there's a logical opportunity, a cost-effective opportunity to increase the capacity here in Skagway with other huge investments.
Western Copper is drawing up a feasibility study for the shipping process. It would include about 25 trucks a day running from the mine to Skagway. Shipments leaving Skagway would average 15 to 20,000 tons. And the company would like to have the capacity to store, on average, 40,000 tons of copper concentrate at the port, Brown said. He presented at the meeting the company's design concepts for expanding the terminal and asked the city to consider what it would take to make the improvements. But city officials reminded Brown that while it owns the property around the port, the building is leased to the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority through an agreement with White Pass Railroad. The lease runs through 2023.
They hold the lease through an agreement with White Pass until the end of 2023 currently. And the municipality is in the process of trying to give them flexibility to look at financing and accommodating other mines beyond 2023. So in reality, ADA needs to be involved in this process probably much more than the municipality.
Skagway officials were supportive of Western Copper's intent to ship from Skagway. They questioned Brown on how many trucking jobs the effort might provide the town and if the company had considered using rail for transport. Brown said rail was not a viable option at the time because the copper would still have to be trucked a portion of the way before reaching the line. If, however, the railroad was expanded and became an option in the future, the company would consider it, he said.
And however it moves, if it's attractive to you commercially, I would assume you'd take a look at it, right?
You better believe it.
Okay, so that means we're not ruling rail out. An effective and competitive method of moving
here. Here's where we are. Okay, we're going to publish a feasibility study by the end of this year. I can only deal with it in a feasibility study. That those features or facilities or services that I can demonstrate are feasible. And feasible means technically feasible and commercially feasible. I cannot talk about something that is speculative in nature. And if it made commercial sense, we would migrate over from trucking to rail in a heartbeat if it made commercial sense, right? But where we are today in terms of going forward with a feasibility study, I have to base it on the here and now. And the here and now is, I got a good port facility here. I got a viable trucking operation that is cost effective. And so we're predicated on that.
Brown also noted the company would like to use LNG natural gas to power most of the Casino operations and the trucking fleet, with an eye on how the gas could be transported to the mine and the Skagway port.
We'll never turn our back on an opportunity down the road. You know, as I mentioned, we're going to have a power plant that's fueled on LNG. If you guys ever get around to building your Alaska pipeline, it's going to pass within 130 kilometers of Casino. We would build a tie line, a spur line to tie into that in a heartbeat, because it would cut our cost of generating power in half.
Some city officials brought up the concern of increased traffic and border congestion with the additional truckloads of copper coming through town. But others, like Steve Heitz, who sits on the Skagway Port Commission, also emphasize the town's commitment to courting the Yukon mining companies.
We are absolutely 100%, not only as a port commission, but I think as an assembly, in 100% favor of not only your endeavors, your enterprise, but all of the other mining concerns around you who are attempting right now to pry the lid off of you.
Brown said Western Copper did not want to compromise that support.
Well, and like I said, you know, every visit I made here in Skagway, or every time that John or others have come and talked to us, the consistent message has always been that you're open for business. Now, open for business doesn't mean you're about to give up your standards. You're open for business consistent with your standards. And we're perfectly happy with that, right? We, you know, for us, being a good corporate citizen is paramount. I mean, if you lose your reputation in the business, you can't do business. So, you know, we only intend to have installations that conform to good code, good regulation, fully compliant, right? And we want to do it in such a way that, you know, the community continues to be a strong supporter for our activities. You know, that synergy is very important.
The State Industrial Development and Export Authority Deputy Director Jim Hemsmath said at the meeting the agency will work with Western Copper and discuss options and cost for upgrading the Skagway facility. A recent wood heating analysis study for the Haines Borough determined there is not currently an economic incentive to invest in wood heating systems, such as wood pellets, for Haines Borough buildings. But that doesn't mean the idea of biomass or wood pellet heating in the Haines area dies. Darcy Kolbeck, Special Projects Manager for the Borough, said the study does offer insight into how wood heating could be viable for the Borough at some point.
So yeah, absolutely. This doesn't close the chapter on it. It's just more information, and we'll keep looking for that supply market to change.
The grant-funded analysis was authored by Tim Rehfeldt of Alaska Energy Engineering in Juneau, who has conducted several similar studies for Southeast communities. He said his study was limited to evaluating options for heating some of the borough buildings, like the library, school, and administration building, with wood pellets. Rehfeldt writes that without a reliable and affordable source of wood pellets in the area, the current oil heat is cheaper at today's prices. But there may be pellet supplies in the future. Chilkoot Indian Association purchases pellets for use in its pellet burners at its housing units and is actively pursuing the possibility of developing a small pellet factory in the Haines area. The Sea Alaska Corporation in Juneau has also committed to creating a market for local pellets by switching to wood-powered heat. But the Native Corporation is currently buying pellets from the Pacific Northwest while hoping a local producer soon emerges. Mayor Stephanie Scott is pleased to have the study done and said it can be used as a tool in determining future energy needs for the borough. And she wasn't deterred by the idea that a wood heating system would take more investment and commitment.
You know, for some people it would go, oh, you know, that's a barrier. But for me, it's appealing. Because the more we understand how our systems work and what's required in order to maintain them, I think the more we will just be paying more attention and possibly, you know, being more in control.
The mayor said something the plan doesn't address is the opportunity to create local jobs and spend more money locally with a more local-based energy source. Having the study completed also lays the groundwork for possible future projects. Scott says the study completes the first and second phases necessary that the Alaska Energy Renewable Fund requires communities to complete in order to apply for construction funds, and lays a plan of action should the market change.
Should pellets become less expensive and oil increase in its cost, we have now a plan for conversion. It's having that plan that allows us to take action should action be required. The one thing I've learned in my short time here is that despite the pain of paying for plans, it is those plans that allow us to access funds from, you know, the Renewable Energy Fund or maybe a legislative appropriation or something like that. You have to start with a plan. So I'm gratified that we have this plan on our shelf.
Kwani Chilkat International Bike Race had slower times this year than last, and the chilly and rainy weather didn't help. The winning solo men's winner was Brett Boniface of Cloverdale, British Columbia, with a time of 7 hours 40 minutes, about an hour and 20 minutes longer than last year's winning time. The top solo female finisher, Nadelle Flynn of Whitehorse, crossed the finish line at 9 hours 2 minutes. Top area finishers included Spencer Morgan of Skagway in 6th place, with a time of 8 hours 22 minutes. Haynes residents Noble Anderson and Chris Miller finished 14th and 15th, respectively, in the solo men's division. 9 Haynes teams and 3 Skagway teams finished the race. You can view complete results on the race website at kcibr.org or find a link on our KHNS News webpage. This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.